says that there is a nation, scripture calls the beast. And he says, this beast is able to perform signs and wonders. The beast here is a country, is a nation. He says, this nation is able to cause fire to fall from heaven. All right, man of God, let's go.
From the sky to the earth in man's signs.
Okay.
Verse 14. And because of the signs, miracles, which is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast.
Okay. So it means that there was a first beast, there was a nation that used to govern the whole world, that used to perform signs and wonders, but then suddenly there came up a second beast, a second nation that overpowered the first nation and also began to do miracles. Okay.
He deceived those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to react, to erect a statue.
So now this nation begins to deceive people and now begins to command people to erect an image, which scripture calls the statue. Because at the time John was having this vision, we don't have so many things in this dispensation as we have it. And so what John would be able to use to describe what is seen is a statue. Are we okay? So he goes ahead to say that, and then life was given to this statue, and then a command was given to this statue now to begin to put people in authority who do not have the mark. But without the mark, you cannot be able to buy or sell. And so life was given to this statue by this nation to be able to put man in subjection, to put man in a particular place where they are only paying homage to this country or to this nation that the Antichrist now is in control of. All right. And I want us to understand something step by step. Remember when scripture talks about in the book of Genesis that when Adam was made, he was a dead soul, and then he was there as a log. He could not be able to do anything. But then suddenly God gave him breath, and then he became what? A living being. So Adam was there, he could not do anything, and then suddenly breath was given unto Adam and he became a living being. And then this same statue also, you see that every time the devil wants to do something, he does something counterfeit to what the Lord has done. The Lord might have done it before Satan begins to copy or begins to do it as well. And scripture says that then the devil also makes up a nation, and this nation also makes up a statue in the form of a man, and then now give life to this statue. Man of God, go on.
In the likeness of the beast, who was wounded by a small sword,
okay,
and still lived. Verse 15.
Okay.
And he is permitted also to impart the bread of life.
And then this man is permitted, or this beast, or this nation is permitted to give this statue the breath of life.
Into the beast image.
Into the beast image, the statue.
So that the statue of the beast could actually talk.
And suddenly the statue begins to talk. And so in this dispensation, we begin to see many nations enter into robotism, begin to enter into making robots. And so what John was actually seeing at the time was robots, but he could only describe it at the time because there was nothing called robot at the time. So he could only say a statue which had life in it, because it's not a man. And so what can he say? It's a statue which had life in it. And then what was given to the statue to do?
And caused to be put to death those who would not bow down.
People now were put to death, to them that would not bow down to the image, or would not also bow down to receive the mark. And there was no buying and selling because of this mark. And the duty that was given to this robot was simply to make sure that anybody who does not bear the mark of the beast, anybody who doesn't want to pay homage to this beast, will be put to death. So one of the duties that these robots have, even though it is technological advancement, there is also an agenda behind it. And so they will tell you that there is domestic robots and there is the other robots. And so even as much as they are domestic robots, these specific robots are made simply to put men to death. Men who will not follow the other image, whom we call the Antichrist. And that is their duty. What is to be noticed here, or what is much more vital here, is not the fact that the beasts or the statues are putting men to death because of their race, because they are married or not, because they have money or not, because they own something or not, but because they do not bear the mark of the beast and they do not bow to this Antichrist whom they call their God. Because he begins to work out signs and wonders and begin to cause fire to come from the skies. Why? Because they are artifacts, they are planes, they are jet fighters, which causes fire to come from above the skies. And that is what John was talking about. How planes or how jet fighters or how aeroplanes are able to cause fire to come from above in times of war or in times of crisis. So that's what John was saying. But even prior to this, before the devil begins to introduce his mark and begin to put men in control, scripture tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the verse 8, and Deuteronomy chapter 11, the verse 18, that the Lord himself began to give mark to his people. He begins to give mark to his people and he gives them an instruction that this mark must be placed upon their frontlets, which is also translated as their forehead, in between their eyes. The mark must be placed on their forehead, in between their eyes, and also upon their right hand. The mark must be placed. And so we see Deuteronomy came even before Revelation. And so we understand God himself is the one who brought the mark first. God is the originator of marks upon humans. And so if we are to talk about the mark of the beast, there is already the mark of God. Are we here? There was already the mark of God before they became the mark of the beast. Even the mark of the beast is not even yet in existence. It is still in process. But then the mark of God had already been in existence, which you and I have no knowledge about, which we only refer to the mark as the mark of the beast. Man of God, read for us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8.
The book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8. Mm-hmm. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your head.
So this mark is a sign upon your head.
And you shall be as frontlets.
And as the frontlets.
Foreheads. Bands, mm-hmm, between your eyes,
mm-hmm, in between the eyes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy chapter
11, verse 18. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you shall lay up these my words in your minds,
okay,
and hearts, mm-hmm, and in your entire being, and bind them for a sign upon, mm-hmm, your hearts,
okay,
and as a forehead binds between your eyes.
Okay, so the Lord tells them now. But this is the instruction, and the reason why you are doing this is because it is a reminder to you of what I have done, that I promised your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I will bring you into a land called the Promised Land, which is flowing with milk and honey. And the moment that you came out of Egypt, you came out of the country, then you must begin to do this as a reminder and as a ritual upon your forehead and upon your right hand. Anytime you are in prayer, and also let it be upon your household, write it upon your household, that every child will be taught about these things. And so even up to this day, the Jews do so. The people who are born Jews do so up to this day, and the Jews are from Israel. Up to this day, they still do it. And so they have a small box, and in this small box there are scriptures which we call the Torah. And the Torah also contains how God was able to promise the Israelites and to bring them out of the place they were in. Are we okay? And the Torah also contains some few chapters of the Old Testament. Are we okay? Which talks about the promises of God to the Jews. Are we here? Or are we here? Now, what they do is they have two boxes with two leather straps around it. There are two boxes. So one upon their head. Usually it bypasses their hairline. So it is here. In the Hebrew, they call it the tefillin. But then in the Greek, they call it the phylacteries. Phylacteries. And we'll look at it. Or if you have a phone, if you can access the internet, you can type in the phylacteries. P-H-Y-L-A-C. T-R-I-E-S, phylacteries, phylacteries. And so when you type it, you remember that there are Jews who wear these things up to this day in times of prayer. Anytime they are entering into any time of prayer, they wear this upon their head and also upon their hands. And they bind the leather upon their hands seven times. And also they put it upon this particular finger also. And then they tie it around their arms before they enter into prayer. Up to this day, they still do it. So you can equally put it upon the ministry platform. But some of us who are on the WhatsApp ministry platform can equally access it. So they have these phylacteries, and in this box, there are scriptures in there. The book of Matthew chapter 23 verse 5. So it's not only an Old Testament practice, it's also a New Testament practice. Matthew 23 verse 5. Please flow with me.
Matthew 23 verse 5.
Yes, please.
They do all their works to be seen of men.
Okay.
For they make wide their phylacteries.
So they make wide their phylacteries.
Small cases enclosing certain scriptures.
So it is a small case which encloses certain scriptures in there.
One during prayer.
Which is one during prayer.
On the left arm.
On the left arm.
And the forehead.
And also on the forehead.
And make long their friends, mm-hmm. one by all males, mm-hmm. Israelites, according to the command.
Okay. So this thing is not something that the Israelites just stood up to do. This was a divine command from God to the Israelites to be able to make these phylacteries or these tefillins to be able to put upon their head, in between their eyes, and also upon their hands in prayer. So you cannot enter into prayer without it. In other words, anytime you enter into prayer, you remember by these phylacteries or by these tefillins that God had promised your fathers before and he has done it. Which means that in the prayer that you are praying, when God also promises you, he will equally bring it to pass. Which also means that by this phylactery that is upon your hand, when you pray, whatsoever you ask the Father, because he has done it before, he will equally do it for you again. Are you okay? So you know, sometimes you can be in prayer, and as you are praying, your mind is traveling elsewhere. Your mouth is moving, you are praying in tongues, you are saying some words, but in your mind is traveling elsewhere, deviated from what you are praying about. And so God knows those things happen to human, and then he began to teach these Jews that even when you are in prayer and your mind is deviated around, there is a need for you to put on these phylacteries so that it brings you back. It becomes a reminder to you of what you are praying about and what has been done before and what can be done again. Are we okay? But you and I don't put on these phylacteries, and yet we are still praying and God answers us. Not because we are not Jews. You and I are Jews. But we are not Jews by birth. We are Jews by adoption. Are we okay? There are people who are born Jews. So for instance, if I go and adopt a kid from Tanzania and I bring the kid into Ghana and I give the kid this residence permit or whatever it is, nationality or citizenship staff card or whatever it is, that person now becomes a Ghanaian and not a Tanzanian. Are we okay? The same way you and I also are not from Israel. You and I do not even speak the Jewish language. But you and I, the Lord says he calls us now his Jews, because now he has bought us from the hands of the enemy by his blood. Are we okay? So you and I now have become Jews, not by birth, but by adoption. And so there is a need for you and I to equally put on these phylacteries upon our heads and upon our hands when praying. But then the Lord begins to teach us a new way because of what the devil now plans to do. You know, anytime you decide to go away from these phylacteries, anytime you put your mind away from these phylacteries, and you decide to reject the command or the divine command of God, what you're actually doing is to reject the will of God and go for the mark of the beast. Anytime anybody is going for the mark of the beast, the person has actually deviated or gone away from the mark of God or the will of God. There maybe may come a time where you and I may have to choose between the mark of God and the mark of the beast. And even, not even during the time of tribulation, even now, some of us bear the mark of God, and some people equally bear the mark of the beast. Some of us are waiting for, in quotes, the day of tribulation, for the mark of the beast to be revealed before you think you can now say, I've rejected it or I've not rejected it. But you see, the mark of the beast will not come in a way that you may even say you've rejected it. It may not be literal unto you. So you may not even know it is the mark of the beast. You see how we move from using the Nokia phones. We tap the yam phones. And suddenly we have moved on to the touch screens. And now they are making diverse phones. and they are making it in a projection form where even it can be on your hand and you are tapping. We see them in movies. We see chips in movies. And so it may not come in a form where you may think it's a mark of the beast, but it is something that is going to aid you in everything you need to do. But they said, without this, you cannot buy or sell. And if you cannot buy or sell, then there is a need for you to go for whatever you are asking you to get, so you can be able to buy and sell. It's not anything bad. I can make calls with it. I can snap selfies with it. I can buy with it. I can sell with it. It's more easier. I can take selfie with it. Now, there are even spectacles that act as phones. There are even, I think Apple just released one of their gadgets, which when you wear, you can even enter into a metaverse or a universe that is not even real, but it looks real. And just recently, someone was arrested outside the nation by raping someone in that metaverse. Yes, this is how serious it is. I wore glasses in a way, and I began to imagine myself in place, like it's like I'm playing GTA, Grand Theft. And you were there, you can create your own self and be in there as a cartoon. And you can buy houses, you can buy things there. And it is real. They use BTC to buy things there. Bitcoin, to buy things there. And someone went there, they went to gang rape a lady in that metaverse. And in real life, when they came out from that place, in real life, the woman went to report. And the person was like, these guys were arrested for gang raping cartoon. Okay. So you see how funny it may sound. But these things are real before us without us knowing. Many people are going for the mark of the beast without knowing they're going for the mark of the beast. I'm not saying this technological advancement is the mark of the beast. No. I'm saying in that advancement, it can be used. But you and I, we must come to a place to acknowledge or to check whether we have the mark of God or we have the mark of the beast. Because the mark of the beast may not always be visible unto us. Neither will the mark of God be visible unto us. Because the mark of God that was given unto the Jews at the time was the phylacteries, where they put upon their foreheads. And sometimes they even write scriptures upon their foreheads. And also upon their doorposts. Remember that when the spirit of death was coming upon the Egyptians, the Lord says, put upon your doorpost blood, the blood of a lamb. And when the spirit of death comes, it will bypass. So the mark is a sign of identification. It's a sign of deliverance. When you have a mark, it shows you belong. Because I work in the tourism sector, I understand this very well. In those days when the slaves were being captured, they make a tattoo upon them which they call a mark. And the tattoo is your master's name or your master's brand, and it's upon them. And anybody that sees you know that you are a slave to this master. So if your tattoo is a bird, they know the master who uses the bird as a symbol. If your tattoo is maybe your master's name, they know where your master is. Are we okay? So those things are used to identify people or to claim ownership. And so once the devil is breaking the mark, it is to claim ownership of certain people. When God is also breaking the mark, it is to claim ownership of certain people. Which mark is upon you right now? Which mark? It is easier said that I have the mark of God. Where is it? Man of God, help us with the book of Exodus, chapter 13, the verse 8 to the verse 11. Let's see why God now brought the mark. Because when we go for the mark of the beast, we are rejecting the will of God. Remember that. Okay.
The book of Exodus, chapter 13, mm-hmm. verse 8 to verse 11.
Yes, sir.
You shall explain to your son mm-hmm. on that day, mm-hmm. this is done because of what.
So he told the forefathers to begin to do this thing. And begin to write scriptures, begin to write things to show ownership of God upon their forehead and upon their hands. And he said, when you give birth also, you must teach your children that what?
This is done because of what the Lord did for me.
This is done because of what the Lord did for me.
When I came out of Egypt.
Okay.
Verse 9. Mm-hmm. It shall be as a sign to you upon your hand.
Okay.
And as a memorial between your eyes,
okay,
that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth.
Okay.
For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Verse 10. You shall therefore keep this ordinance at this time from years to year. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he has promised and swore to you and your fathers, you shall give it to you.
Okay. Now, realize this thing. That the Lord is saying that this particular mark is not just a sign. This mark of God is not just a sign or a ritual that you must wear upon you anytime you are praying. But it is a mark upon you that serves as a sign, a memorial, and also a reminder to you that God brought your forefathers out of Egypt. And to also to the sons, that there is a promise that God has made to your forefathers, and he must bring it to pass, and he has also brought it to pass. Now, get this straight. Now, if God is saying this is a mark to give you a reminder or to bring you a memorial before him, what is he trying to tell us here? That I have delivered your fathers by the promise I made to them into the new place, the Canaan land, which is flowing with milk and honey. What does Egypt signify to the people of Israel? What does Egypt signify to the Jewish community? When the Israelites were in Egypt, they were in slavery. So he says, the mark is a sign unto each one of you that I, God, have brought you out of slavery. I, God, have brought you out of pain. I, God, have brought you out of lack. I thought you'd be saying an amen here.
Amen.
I, God, have brought you out of lack. I, God, have brought you out of emotional trauma. I, God, have brought you out of afflictions and tribulations. Amen. He says, this shall be a sign unto you. That anybody who sees this mark upon you, as the mark of God upon you, they will see that you have come out of slavery. Amen. That is what God is saying. That this mark upon you is not just to show that I own you, but to also tell others that it's by my right hand, my strong right arm, that I brought you out of slavery. That is what Egypt represents unto the Israelites at the time. And God says, when everybody sees it, and even your children see it, they will see that I have brought you out of Egypt, the place of suffering. And I have brought you now not to a place of suffering, not to a place where I will control you, not to a place where I will bring you to slavery or make you laugh, but to a place that is flowing with milk and honey. And when he brought them there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, scripture says he told them that there are seven tribes that are already there who are more stronger than you, but I will give it unto you. So he was telling them that even though I have brought you out of this place of slavery, this place of difficulty, now I am bringing you to the Canaan land, a place where it may look as though the enemies that are possessing that land are more difficult, are more stronger than you are. But he says, I have brought you there and I will give you the land. Amen. It may be for somebody, but I've given it to you.
Amen.
So he says he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. They are not the sons of God. There are other people who are the sons of God, but they did not receive you. So he gave you, who are not the sons, the power to become. So even though the land may not be yours, it may be for other seven tribes, but then he has given that land unto you to become a landowner. To become possessor of nations.
Amen.
And then they turned the seven tribes into 12 tribes. 12 tribes of Israel. Multiplications. 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 So when they were in Egypt, they could not do anything. The food they will eat is determined by their master. They could not change their clothes. They could not do anything. They have the time they wake up. They have the time they work. They have the time they sleep. They have the time they drink water. You cannot do anything except the master tells you to do it. Then he says, I bring you now to a place where you can have free will. He says, now, but then come, let us reason together. Remember, the mark of the beast is given unto you. So if you do not worship the beast, you will be killed. But he says, in me, there is freedom of worship, freedom of religion. He says, but I tell you, there's life and there is death. But I tell you to choose life. It is your choice. But the devil says, I will not give you any choice. You must choose death now. If you don't choose death, you will die. Imagine the offer the devil is bringing unto us. The devil says, if you don't choose death, we will die. And God is saying there is life and there is death. I tell you to choose life, but it is your choice. Free will. He says, even in that free will, come, let us reason together. footmark do you bear? Are you still in Egypt? Or you are out of Egypt? No wonder I'm standing here as Moses, bringing my wife out of Egypt. Make her as a single woman. Make her as somebody who doesn't even have a first degree. But yesterday, when I brought her, I said, hey, I want to marry you. He says, I'm coming, so I'll be married. When she came, gave her first degree, gave her second degree. I've made her a wife. I've made her a mother. I have brought her out of Egypt. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I pray that God will cause somebody to bring you out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Anything that represents Egypt in your life like then, may God bring you out of it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
May God cause somebody to make you a wife.
Yeah.
May God cause somebody to make you a husband. Yeah. May God cause you to be a mother. Yeah. May God cause you to be a father. May God cause you to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
May God cause you to be a soul winner. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. God caused them to come out of Egypt, not by their own, but Moses was the one leading them. It may have felt difficult, it may have seemed impossible, but every time Moses kept going to bring them out of slavery, sometimes it may take long, sometimes it may be short, sometimes it may seem like the point where the miracle is about to take place, then something happens. Miracle is about to happen, then something happens, like Moses, when Moses was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. When Pharaoh says, let them go now, then he comes and says, I will not allow again. When a miracle happens, then suddenly something will happen. What is going on? Miracle is taking place, there's something else will come out. They lose as though the miracle God gave you was even not of essence. Because anytime the miracle comes up, there is a problem.
The book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 1.
Scripture tells us that by this mark of God upon us, when the final day comes, we will be raptured. Revelation 7, verse 1.
Revelation, chapter 7, verse 1. After this, I saw four angels.
After this, I saw four angels.
Stationed at the four corners of the earth.
They were stationed at the four corners of the earth.
Firmly holding back the four winds of the earth.
And they were holding the four winds of the earth.
So
if the earth, man of God, wait. If the earth is round, fine, it's for you. If the earth is square, it's for you. If the earth is flat, it's for you. But the scripture says, and John saw four angels, and they were standing at the four corners of the earth. As they were standing at the four corners of the earth, it did not end. So they were holding the winds. Can you see wind? Can you see air? But there were angels that began to hold the winds. Because you and I have to be taken away. And they were taken from each tribe of Israel. Four winds were held up. And what was happening, man of God?
So that no wind should blow on the earth.
So no wind will blow on the earth anymore.
Or sea. Or upon any tree.
So it means that we have the power to be able to control the wind. It means that if we are able to speak to the angels, they can be able to hold the wind for us. And Elijah said, let there be no rain. For 3.5 years, there was no rain. The rain was held up. The angels obeyed his voice. The universe obeyed his voice. And on the D-Day, there will be no wind. Not upon the river. There will be no waves upon the river. There will be no waves upon the sea. On that day, angels will hold up the wind. The wind must not blow. Our people must be taken away first. And that is why planes cannot fly. On that day, not because there is no pilot, but on that day, planes cannot fly because there is no wind. What will cause them to be stationed in the air? So we see movies and they say the plane have crashed because the pilot had already been taken away. No, it's not because of the pilot, because the wind has been seized. We will be part of the people that will live.
Amen.
I don't know which mark you bear, but which mark do you bear? Which mark do you bear? Man of God, read it for us.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw a second angel.
I saw a second angel.
Coming up from the east.
Mm-hmm.
The rising of the sun.
The rising of the sun.
And carrying the soul of the living God.
Fire.
And with a loud voice,
fire,
he called out to the four angels.
Mm.
Who had been given authority and power to injure earth and sea.
Injure earth. They must afflict earth with wound, war, atrocities. pain. Difficulties must go on. And this is the assignment of this angel. They are only coming to enter the earth. We'll go into it one day. How the earth can be injured.
Verse 3. Saying, hump neither the earth nor the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the bond servants of our God.
He says, now, even as much as you've been given the duty to be able to hold up the wind, to hump the earth, and even the trees and every living creature on it, wait first. I see God here, just like God was talking to Satan about Job. He says, you can do everything, but don't touch his soul. Touch everything, but not his soul. Now, God is telling the angels here, you wait first. You can do all this, but wait first. I've given you the power, the authority to do all this, but wait first. Wait until my people are taken away. Wait until this one is taken away. Wait until Rahab is taken away. Before you begin to afflict wood upon the earth. And which people were taken away, man of God.
And then I heard how many were sealed, marked out of every tribe.
So there were many that were sealed and they were marked out. Scripture says we have been sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit now becomes a seal upon us, our mark. It says by this mark, many were now taken away. So we understand here, the mark also is for what? Ownership. And so it is by this mark that when the trumpet sound, we will be taken away. It may not be a physical mark upon you, that mark of the beast or mark of God. No, it is an invisible mark in place upon you. Like how the Holy Spirit is invisible within you, but he's within you. He said, by this mark, you will be taken away. And how many people were taken away, man of God?
144,000.
From every tribe, from every tribe.
From every tribe of the sons of Israel.
Now, let's move to the book of Revelation 14 verse 1. Revelation 14 verse 1.
Revelation chapter 14,
I want you to get this straight. The reason why some people were taken away and others were not taken away was because some people bear the mark of God and others bear the mark of the beast. And so if the trumpet is being blown by the angel, what is going to cause men to begin to ascend into the heavens like that? How are they going to be transfigured? It is because they bear the mark of God. And that is how they are able to be known. The wind will know which one to move. The wind will know which one to hold up onto the earth. Remember, the angels have the ability to hold up the wind. And so as they are holding up the wind, they know which one will go and which one will come down. By holding up the wind, the people who have been transfigured with the mark of God can go up. And the people who have not the mark of God will stay down. Are you with us?
Yes, sir.
I wish you would imagine this thing. When you are reading the scriptures, imagine what is going on. So scripture was telling us here that they are holding up the wind. They have this power to enter the earth and everything, but they should hold on until the people have been taken. So if the wind is being held up, and we have the back and we are going, it will be as though blocks or weight have been placed upon the unbelievers and them that hold the mark of the beast, and they cannot be able to ascend. But we, it will be like we are balloons. We are just ascending. And our cloth is being changed. So that we will be clothed with white linen. Alei maros sotaba. Because you and I bear the mark of God. And as a result of that, we are not going to face any form of tribulation upon this earth. We are now going to be moved from this earth that is going to be entered to a place where he says, I go to my Father and I prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. For you will be seated at the right hand of my Father. There is a place we are seated. And it's a place of God's promise. It's a place where we speak. Authority has spoken. It's a place that we are able to ascend into the heavens. So he says, anybody who prays in the Holy Spirit begins to build up himself in the most holy faith. He builds up himself like an edifice. As we pray in the Holy Spirit, we build up. We build up. We build up. We build up. They are with the mark of the beast. They are unable to build up in our way. But we want to speak. Kale kapa ragadias. Leave a legacy, tele kapa. We are ascending. We are building up. We are building up. Tell somebody we are building up. The mark of the beast upon you will cause you to lose heaven. But the mark of God upon you will cause you to make it to heaven. It will cause you to be able to be built up. There is a mark upon us. You may not see it, but it's upon us. Because he has called us not as born Jews, but adopted Jews. And by that, he has given us an invisible mark. These people that were taking the book of Revelation chapter 7 verse 1 downwards, they did not have a physical mark upon their forehead. But the angels were able to determine which ones are for God and the ones not for God, because they can see beyond the physical. There is a mark upon you. I wish I can move further. You see, remember the book of Genesis 4 verse 15. Judah said the other day that when Cain killed Abel, now God came and began to make a decree. He says, I have placed a mark upon Cain that no man should be able to touch Cain. And if any man touches Cain, he will die 7 times. He will suffer the death 7 times. The book of Genesis 4, 15. There is a mark that has been placed upon Cain. That Cain can walk upon the earth and no one will touch Cain. Only God must touch Cain. Anybody who tries to touch Cain, God will destroy the person 7 times. You will be killed 7 times. Imagine. And that is why it is possible for the devil to bring you death and still say, if you don't choose death, you will die. Because God says he will destroy the person that touches Cain 7 times. He will kill you 7 times. It's in your scripture. A mark upon somebody can cause somebody not to be touched. So when we bear the mark of God, when we bear the mark of God, when we bear the mark of God, what can touch us? Just yet do I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death. I will fear not any evil. The evil is then the shadows of death. But I will fear not any evil. For the Lord is with me. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. I bear the mark of God. I'm in comfort. Are you with me at all? Yes, it is true I'm in tribulations. Yes, it is true I'm expecting something from God. Yes, it is true it hasn't been done yet, but I'm in comfort. I bear the mark of God. God, except the Lord give the command, nobody can touch me. And so the devil said to God, have you not been a head around him? Have you not been a mark around him that nobody can come against him and even the things that he possesses? He says, you take off that mark and see. And see if you will not deny him. And see if he will not reject you. Take off that mark. If God takes off his mark over you and I, because we've received Christ, if God takes off his mark, because you've tested God before, if he takes his mark, you will be messed up. You will be messed up. And that's why we always thank God for mercy. We always thank God for mercy. Because even though we have his mark, there is darkness still around us. Yet he says we will walk through the valleys of the shadows of death and we will still not fear any form of evil. For he, God, is with us. That the devil is with us. No, that he, God, is with us. Who is with you? Whose mark do you bear? Is the mark of God that causes you to be delivered? Is the mark of God that prevents you from having an accident? Is the mark of God that causes you to be chosen? Is the mark of God that says, this one is my own, and nobody can lay claim over you? But if the mark is not upon you, and you are in the middle, and you are in the middle, anybody can play you anyhow. Anything can play you anyhow. The day you received the Lord, that was the day the mark was placed upon you. When you were standing there by the pulpit or in your own room and said, Father, forgive me my sins, for I've sinned against you. Father, I denounce the devil and I turn to you. I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. On that day, the Lord was writing upon your forehead. As suddenly a hand appeared and began to write upon the wall, and no one understood what the hands was writing. A hand appeared, no face, nobody, just the hand was writing. Just the hand was writing. So a day you were receiving Christ as a Lord and personal Savior, a hand was writing upon your forehead. This is my son, this is my daughter. A mark was given unto you. You could not see, but the mark is upon you even right now. And as a result of that, even when the devil wants to come close, they cannot come close. But this one, he bears the mark of God. And so we will not know how we'll be taken into the heavens. But all that we are concerned about is that we have the mark of God. And by having the mark of God, we know we will go. We will go. Are you now waiting? We are, some of us are already there. We are just completing our assignment and we will go back. We just came to chill here. Yeah. We just came to chill. We have to go to the chill server, go and chill there physically.
The chill.
Hallelujah. All right, the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1.
Revelation chapter 14, verse 1.
Yes, sir.
Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion,
Kabaras,
and with him 144,000 men, who had his name and his father's name inscribed on their foreheads.
And he saw these people as he looked upon Mount Zion. He saw these people with his father. They had their father's name upon their forehead, and they have his name upon their forehead. And they were upon Mount Zion. What did the Lord tell us about Mount Zion? He said, you have come to Mount Zion, a company of innumerable of angels. You have come. You are already there. You bear the mark, so you are there. The day you received Christ, the mark was put in. The name of Christ was there. The name of God is there. So at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee bows. So by the name of Jesus, upon your forehead, that you cannot even see. The devils are bowing. The problems are bowing. The disappointments are bowing. Because there is a name upon your forehead, and there is a name upon your hand. The fact that you cannot see that thing means it's not there. If you are clapping, clap for the Lord here. The fact that you cannot see the name, the fact that you cannot see the mark, doesn't mean it is not there. It is there. You cannot see because of your eyes. But if you have that eyes, you can be able to see it. And the Lord has given the ability to the angels to be able to see that mark. Since we have come onto Mount Zion, a company of many thousands, millions of angels. Jesus said to Peter, if it is about war, I can command numerous of angels to come and fight with me. If it's about war, I can command them, because I am at Mount Zion. I am at Mount Zion. Which means, if we have come to Mount Zion, when we have angels at our disposal, we can equally tell angels to go and they will go. To come and they will come. Tell them to hold the wind and they will hold the wind. You have angels around you right now, and you have to command them, and they will obey, because the mark of God is upon you. You have to use your angels. You have to cause them to work. And by them working and obeying you and obeying the word of the Lord, so that they grow in strength. You must cause your angels to grow. That in times of battle, in times of warfare, they can be able to face a fight. There are some battles you are losing because your angels are not strong enough. They are not being built up because you don't use them and they don't obey you. Angels only grow in strength by obeying the word of the Lord. So if your word is the word of the Lord and they obey you, they are growing each time in strength. But as you cause them to be dormant and they are seated not working, they do not grow in strength. It's like your gift. The more you use your gift, the more you become better. The more you use it, the more you become better. The more you use your skills, the more you become more experienced. And that's why I'm going to look for a job experience. A job will tell you they need 5 years experience. You just completed school just this year. You don't even have 1 year experience, but they say they want 5 years experience. And it's by that 5 years that they will pick you. Because the experience makes you better. It's by the experience of your angels that they grow in strength. And they're able to command things for you better. You bear the mark of God. I want us to read the last scripture in the book of Exodus 13. Verse 16 to the verse 17. I want you to see something very, very nice there. When I was teaching last week, I want to just tap on this one. Exodus 13, verse 16 to 17.
The book of Exodus, chapter 13.
Remember, I was telling you last week that sometimes God will cause you to use the long way. Some people may use the short way, but God will cause you to use the long way sometimes. Read this thing for us, Lord God.
Chapter 13, verse 16 to 17.
Yes, please.
And it shall be as a reminder upon your hand.
It says that this mark again will be a reminder upon your hand.
Or as a frontlet.
Or as a frontlet in between your eyes upon your forehead.
Between your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
For by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt.
For by the strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt.
Verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
When Pharaoh let the people go.
He says now, listen carefully. He says now, when Pharaoh let the people go.
God let them not by way of the land so, of the Philistines.
That was even nearer. So there is a way, there were two ways they could have escaped Egypt. There was the way of the land and there was the way of the sea. And the way of the land is nearer. But God said he did not allow them to use the way of the land. He made them use the way of the sea, which was longer.
Yes,
why? Mm-hmm.
Although that was nearer,
mm-hmm.
For God said,
mm-hmm.
Lest the people change their purpose.
Lest the people change their thoughts, their purpose.
When,
and go back to Egypt.
When they see war and return to Egypt.
Sometimes God will make you use the long way to save yourself. So your salvation can be rooted. When you use the short way to go, he says you will backslide. You will turn back. You will go to the slavery that he brought you out of. You will go to the past life he brought you out of. So sometimes God doesn't allow you to go to the shortcut because he wants to save you. There is a short way. There is a way that is nearer to the Canaan land, to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. There is a way there. There is a different way that is shorter. But he did not allow us to go on the way of the land. But they went to the way of the sea. You see, again, we say mercy. Can someone say mercy?
Mercy.
Can someone say mercy?
Mercy.
Can someone say mercy?
Mercy.
they appeared before the Red Sea and they began to murmur and complain about Moses, and they asked Moses that, "How have you brought us here to die? Are there not grave in Egypt?" And they were all standing there and they were complaining against Moses. But guess what? That was even better. Because the Lord is telling us here that if they had gone through the land, the shorter route, they would have met the Philistines, and when they see war, they would rather run back to Egypt. They will not stand there and murmur against Moses. They will run back to slavery. They will prefer slavery than war. And so for God to prevent you from entering into slavery, God causes you to use the long route. And you will be complaining, "God, you are delaying me." What you call delay is God's deliverance for you. It is good to pray for speed. But that prayer of speed must be prayed with a good understanding. Because these people were being delayed. These Israelites were being delayed. Why? Because God did not want them to go back to Egypt, the place of slavery, anymore. God doesn't want you to go back to certain people, certain places. And you are complaining, "God, why are you making me go through this thing so long? And the spirit of delay is worrying me." That spirit of delay is God. That spirit of delay that you are binding and casting out is God. So if you say you are being delayed by a demon, are you calling God a demon? Imagine, God is saying that it is true. There is a shorter way for them to go to the land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, if you are going to be rich, there is a shorter way. If you are going to make it prosperity or be successful on this earth, you and I know there is a shorter way. You and I know. And then you know there is a shorter way. You know there is a shorter way. You know. I mean, accounts department, there is a shorter way. You are in procurement department, there is a shorter way. You can make you go and buy things, you can change the receipt. There is a shorter way. But it says, choose the other way. You may meet the Red Sea, but even as you stand behind the Red Sea, you will know that it's God's mercy to you. Because it is better to be at the Red Sea than to even face the Philistines, even though the way of the Philistines is shorter. Sometimes we have to thank God for delays. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for delays, Lord. You think it's an evil prayer, right? Yes. This is your mind. It's your mind. You call everything bad. It took them about 400 years. Others may say by their calculation, theologically, 40 years. 400 years. To be able to get to the Canaan land. Which means that it would have taken them 20 years to get to the Canaan land. But God chose 400 years. Because if he doesn't use that number of years for them, even that one said they were sinning against God, that's why they still be multiplied. So imagine if they went to the Philistines route, that was nearer. I shared a testimony with you on my WhatsApp status about one of us who came to see me about a travel plan. And the person began to tell me how things are very difficult over there. And now doesn't know whether to return or to still be there and to still move. I'm not saying when you travel is bad. I say again, there are many sons and daughters of mine who have traveled. Who is working for them? But as you inquire, what is being told you when you inquire? When the person came, I told the person, as we pray, let's hold our hands and pray. As I sometimes do with you when you come and see me. When we prayed, I don't see you happy then. But I see you getting a job in Ghana. So you must choose between the job and the travel. So, Mekko. It's not bad. Pastor Peter Mayes, I went some time ago with the scripture. He said, there are some people that must stay under the tent and they will flourish in the tent. And there are some people that must travel and they will flourish by traveling. Which one is your one? Now we have to now come and do fasting and prayer. And change things that are working over there. That's why I said obedience is better than what sacrifice. So that way may look like a shorter route. And being in Ghana without pay may be like a longer route. And yet the longer route would have been much better than the shorter route. I can't say many things. This is a snippet I showed you. But people are struggling. People are struggling. You are here, you're also struggling, nicely dressed. We have our own things. But the mark of God that we bear is causing us to come out of troubles. So even as the person is there and the person is going through struggles, by the mercy of the Lord, the person will come out of that thing. Mercy. Because you also think that you also go to the mercy of God. See your mind. Whose mark do you bear? Whose mark do you bear? You're not even answering yourself, you're just looking at me. Whose mark do you bear? Whose mark is upon you? That when the enemy comes to your room at dawn and they see you lying down, they will still not do anything to you because there is a mark upon you. Or when they see you lying down in your room, lifeless, they will trouble you because you have no mark upon you. Because the enemy can sweep you like wheat, left and right, second. They play like ball. Nobody can play with my life. And nobody should play with your life. Amen. I said, nobody should play with your life.
Amen.
Nobody should play with your life.
Amen.
Nobody should play with your life.
Amen.
If they've managed to kill anybody in the family, you bear the mark of God. Nobody should be able to touch you.
Amen.
If they've been able to destroy other people's job, nobody should be able to touch yours.
Amen.
I said, nobody.
Amen.
If they are all dying by diabetes, you must be different. Nobody can touch you. If no one is succeeding, you, nobody can touch you.
Amen.
If their marriage is not working, you, nobody can touch you.
Amen.
If their education is not working, you, nobody can touch you.
Amen.
Shout nobody.
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 Nobody. Nobody.
Once again, shout nobody.
Nobody.
Let this be upstanding. Nobody can touch you. You bear on you the mark of God. You want to pray one prayer? The reason why the Israelites, no matter how long it took, and they still found themselves at the land flowing with milk and honey, was because they obeyed God's plan. And the Lord is saying, this week is our week of God's promise. Oh, I said, it's our week of God's promise.
Amen.
It's our week of God's promise.
Amen.
For he said, by the mark, they will remember that God has promised their fathers about the land flowing with milk and honey, and that they were able to possess that land. What has God promised you? This week it will come to pass.
Amen.
I said it will come to pass this week.
Amen.
We are praying that, Father, help me walk in your plan. Help me obey your plan. Lema satele kapara. Lego bara satele kapaya. Ramaka satele kapara. Nili kapayuas.